I want to make a statement here this morning. I just want to let you know that I love cheesecakes. Close to cheesecake is I love cha siu bao. I want you to know, too, that I really love my puppy, Chloe. We adopted her 6 years ago. She's always my little puppy, 16 pounds of fluffy fur. I also love Barbara, my wife. We've been married for 38 years. Wow. I'm right about that, right? 38? I know, like I always say, I married her when she was 3 years old. I also love ice cream, okay? And I can't forget this. I love my New York Giants, who's going to be champion this year. And I love fantasy football. I don't want to remind anyone what happened last year. There are two words that are common denominators for what I just said. I love, right? I love. I think we in the Western world, and not just that, I think even Chinese people in the Chinese language, or oi, very similar understanding of what love is. And so today we want to talk about that a little bit. And it's going to be very different than our understanding, certainly what the world understands to be. Now, I am taking a little kind of jump. Obviously, you know we are on 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we will get back to that. But on a family worship, we want to focus on chapter 13. And it's not all chapter 13. There's a lot of stuff there. So we want to delve into it a little later. But today, we want to speak on these three verses, of course, inclusive of half the verse that's in chapter 12, love. The word love here is different than how we use that word. We use that word for everything. I love this, I love that. You know, if we have any sentiment about anything, we love, you know? We talk about loving people, loving things. We're talking not about this love. And it's important for us to understand that as God's people, because when it was written and the Almighty God certainly knew about it, the language that was used was Greek. And the Greek language is an amazing language. A language that describes so much more. The word is agape. You know that already. If you've been in church, you've heard that word again and again and again, agape. The word agape love is not the same as all the other love that I just mentioned in my little proclamation about what I love. There are other words in Greek that are for those things. There's a word called eros. This is a love for relationship between a male and a female. You know, if you get infatuated, that's what that is talking about. Even in a husband and wife relationship, that's what it's talking about. These are concepts of deep passion and feelings, but it is not this love. And so, in fact, sometimes, and I've used it many times, when, you know, in a wedding ceremony, the pastor preaches on 1 Corinthians 13, by the way, that is the most, by far, the most popular passage to choose. Sometimes we describe it wrongly, because it is not about that kind of love. It is way beyond that. It is something different. And it's also not about, you know, loving or having a good friendship with somebody. You know, that's phileo love. That's why you got the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, right? That's another kind of love. So you got all these kinds of love there. And in a family situation, it is inclusive. In a family situation, there is the eros love, there is the phileo love, obviously, siblings and so forth, and your cousins and on and on and on. But there is also this agape love, which is beyond that. It's inclusive in it, but it is beyond it. And it is something that we need to understand what it is. Otherwise, we will just use it wrong all the time, and we will not live it out right. You know, I want to tell you that life without this love, and we're going to go through it a little bit, well, it doesn't do anything. That life is, according to the Word of God, worthless. Now, how do you get this love? How do you have this love? If you don't know what this love is, agape love, you need to understand that it is a love that is described essentially as a sacrificial giving love. That's what it is. And if you want to look at it throughout scriptures, you can find this word. Probably the one that you know the most, The most popular or most, you know, common to you is John 3:16. For God so agape. For God so loved the world. It is not that God has a great sentimental feeling about individual. Oh, yo, I love this person and I don't love. No, it isn't that at all. Sure, he loves us. But he loves us in a sacrificial love. And how do we know that? Because for God so loved, so agape the world, you and me, that he gave. All right? That's what this love is about. It is about giving sacrificially. How sacrificially? On the cross of Calvary. Calvary sacrificially. That is what it means. So if you want to talk about love, that's what it means. And in the context of this passage, in the context of this letter, the Apostle Paul writes to these Corinthians that are missing this totally, right? They're gifted, they're able, they're wealthy, they're safe, they're all that stuff, and they think they're so cool, so proud of themselves. And in the midst of this, Paul puts this chapter in there about agape love. In fact, I think that if someone is not familiar with the scriptures or just barely, you would think of this passage. This passage is the highlight of the New Testament, perhaps, outside of John 3:16. Perhaps if you thought about anything that the Apostle Paul wrote, it would be this passage more than anything else. Even in Romans, even in chapter 15 of Corinthians, you know, you think of this. You say, oh, that's great. But yet we are misunderstanding what this love is about. This love is agape love. So understand that it is a self-sacrificial love. If you're not doing a self-sacrificial giving to others, to someone, to anybody else, you are not living out love, this love. You might have feelings for somebody. You might love CBC. You might love people in CBC. You might love the city of Houston. You might even love the people out on the mission field. But unless you're doing this self-sacrificial giving, you are not doing love. Okay? This is something that you need to understand and I need to understand. Otherwise, we'll mix it all up. So, well, how do we have this love? Is it something we just conjure up? Okay, let me just go and take out something and sacrificially give it something. Is that what love is? Well, I want you to understand this. This love can only be had by believers in Jesus Christ. This is not a love that comes into the person who don't know the Lord. You can't have this. You can't. You just can't have it. You know why? Because we did this a few months back. We went through the book of Galatians, and you remember the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is what? First of all, it is love. In fact, you can even consider that everything else fits into love. And that word love there was not phileo love. It was not erotic love. It was agape love. It was a self-sacrificing love. So the fruit of the Spirit is love. So you can only have that if you have the Spirit of God in you, because you can't bear the fruit of the Spirit unless the Spirit of God is in you. And even if it's in you, even if the Spirit of God is in you, if you're not walking by the Spirit, you're not living in the Spirit, you may not have this love coming out of you. So hope you understand what that love is. It is a self-sacrificing, giving love. And it is a love modeled after God's love. Now, how does this work here? And so the first three verses that we see in 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about it, and it talks about it in a kind of a negative way. It talks about what happens if you don't have agape. You right? Whatever it is. It describes three basic categories. I want to talk about it a little bit. He says, the Apostle Paul writes, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels and do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. Now, the context is this. In the Corinthians church, there was a struggle as to who's more important, who's more skilled and gifted, who's a leader, who's better than someone else. And one of the struggles that they got in here, they mixed it up with the gift of tongues. They pulled it in there, and because, by the way, if you have the gift of tongues, you're speaking a language that you don't know, a language of another nation, perhaps, or even an angelic language. I would love to hear what that is, you know. It is different. It is obviously supernatural. And so people are saying, if I have that, I must be better than you. And since gifts, spiritual gifts, are not the same with everybody, some people didn't have it. And so some of the ones that had it thought, well, then I am more spiritual. And Paul was attacking this idea that if you have a spiritual gift that is supernatural, that makes you better. But not only that, he's attacking the issue of people who think they have some abilities. And what he says is, you have nothing if you have no love. It doesn't matter what you say. Now, I want to tell you, though, the power of the word is amazing. And those of you that are in the family, in family situations, especially fathers, mothers too, you need to know, you know, as someone has said, and they have quoted in other things, that 1,000 positive, encouraging words can be wiped out totally by one negative ones. And so if you want to say something to your children, you better be careful what you're saying to them, because you're building their self-esteem. You're raising them up in the ways of the Lord. You want to be positive, encouraging. You don't want to be knocking them down. Do not use the negative things as if that's going to motivate them. They may do real well in school. They may accomplish a lot, but the essence has been destroyed. So you want, you know, positive things to happen to your children. You want to focus on positive reinforcements, and you want to encourage them. So you need to know that. In fact, the scripture is clear about it. Those who have the ability to preach, it goes on. It says, you know, if I can just speak to people, I have the prophecy, the gift of prophecy. Now, we can talk about all kinds of things, but prophecy essentially is speaking the word of God in so many different ways, sometimes supernaturally, other times through the word of God. But you know what? I know as a preacher, and we're trained for that, you know. When we go to seminary, we're trained to preach. And sometimes you can't train something you can never do, no doubt. But sometimes we are trained to. In fact, we are told certain things. You know, when you come up here, be open. You know, do you know that? Just your posture. Don't be like this, okay? Don't put your hand in your pocket like I do every once in a while. I'm telling you all the things I shouldn't do, you know? And look at people. Look them in the eyes. We're trained to do all those things. Why? Because there's a message that we have, and when we have these abilities, it seems to be more effective. And when you are effective in your giftedness in speaking, you can move people. We always say, when you can make a person laugh and you make a person cry, you got them exactly what you want them to be. And there's a lot of orators that use that ability and powers to do terrible things, i.e. Adolf Hitler. There's a lot of people that have stood in front of podiums and moved nations and destroyed people because of the things that they've said. So I know there's power in speaking. But the scriptures here, what the Apostle Paul is writing, what the Word of God is saying to us, what God Almighty is telling us, that it doesn't matter what I say, what I can say. If I don't have that sacrificial love in which I give to people, I have nothing. I do nothing. The words I say is just blah, 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 blah. There's no eternity in it. There's no effectiveness in it. Maybe they leave the sanctuary. Oh, that was great what the pastor said. Oh, that was great what that speaker said. Oh, that was so awesome. Boom, gone. Doesn't do anything. So really? Seems to do something. Oh, no. In the eyes of God, you and I speak without the motivation of sacrificially loving somebody, giving of ourselves to that person, we have done absolutely nothing. It goes on, three verses. It goes on and talks about the things I know. A lot of you who are here are Asians. You're not only Asians, there's certainly all kinds of ethnicity in our church. But sometimes we think the power of knowledge is so important. Confucius tells us that, certainly. But nevertheless, even other things. You know, we talk about, you know, stay in school, you're going to succeed in school. You know, we want to learn these things. Knowledge. The word knowledge here is the word gnosis. Gnosis. It just means facts. You know, we can have a lot of facts. I want to tell you today, you don't even have to study a lot. We got something called Google. Right? You want to find out something? Google. I know when I give you a statistic, you're Googling. I know that. You got your phone out there. You want to find out whether that's true or not. We have so much knowledge in this world. That's what we have. Has it done anything for us? And Paul writes, you know, if I have all that, and I can fathom all the mysteries and have all knowledge. What is this mystery, you know? What is mystery? Are there anything mysterious to us anymore? You know, the Bible talks about a lot of mystery, God's mysteries. God has given us revelation in the things that he wants us to know. But they're very mysterious in a sense, you know. Who knows that a person will come and his name is the Son of God and he would die on the cross of Calvary and that would change eternity for billions of people. Who would think that? What a phenomenal mystery. We can know all those things. But you know what? No matter what we know, if our lives are not motivated, if love is not a part of who we are, if we're not people that are sacrificially giving to other people, if we're not that kind of persons, if we're not agape persons, you know what? We're nothing. That's really hard to think, you know. You mean all the study I did, all the things that I have gone into, the time spent, the years spent, all those things, and the things that I know, they are nothing. I am nothing. Now, this is the scripture. This is the word of God. So I'm just telling you what it's saying here. So all the things that I say to people, if it's not motivated by this agape, self-sacrificial love, I'm saying nothing. Just blah, 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 right? If I know all these things, I spent all these years, even in seminary maybe, I'll get my PhD and triple PhD and multiple degrees everywhere. I learn all these things, you know, but I don't really care. I don't really care about others. I'm not here sacrificially giving anything to anybody else. It says here, I am nothing? Wow. So I pick Einstein here. You know, most people think he's the most brilliant man, mathematician or whatever else he is. He's nothing. Accomplishes nothing. And then it goes on. Now this is really hard because, you know, you can say speaking, you can say knowing, but what I do, if I have no love, I accomplish nothing. I gain nothing. Wow. Wow, what is that? You know, we talk about mountain moving faith. And those of you that are prayer warriors, you understand this a little bit more. And in the spiritual giftedness, there's also a gift of faith. That's not the faith that we're talking about, you know, saving faith, because we all need that. But there are people that are given the gift of faith. That's one of my giftedness, in which you just believe. You believe that God can do the amazing things. And in fact, sometimes it takes a long, long time, but you believe it. You just believe that God can. And no matter what comes against you, you just believe that God can. And you pray that God can and will, and he does it. And awesome things happen. These are people like a George Mueller who just sits in an empty table with a bunch of orphans and pray and thank God for the food that is not there. And then the door opens. And a bread truck or a milk truck is broken outside. Can you use the milk? Can you eat these breads? These are people that do that. And so these are people that accomplish a lot of amazing things. You can go in the annals of history and find them. These are people that accomplish a lot. Not only that, these are prayer warriors. You say, wait a minute. You're talking about people that are so full of faith, believing in the Almighty God, and just trust God in these awesome things. And you're saying, what? That they are nothing? Exactly. Why? Because if you are part of that, and I doubt very many of them will be like that, but if you're part of that, and you can literally move mountains. Now, just to let you know, when the Lord says, you know, if you have faith, you can move mountains, you can say to the mountain, be cast into the sea, that's not really what he's intending for us to do. He just wants us to understand that there are great impossibilities and supernatural things that you and I can do if we have the faith, all right? It's not that we should be moving mountains everywhere. These are mountain-moving faith. But you know what? If you can do all those things, and not only that, accomplish those things, but your motivation inside was not agape love. You did it for other reasons. You've done nothing. You know, I've heard families, and Barbara and I have counseled fathers and mothers. And I think sometimes fathers, especially those of us that are very type A oriented, very focused, you know, sometimes a lot on our career, And I've heard it, and you've read it before, you heard it in stories and all. Father will say, of course I love my children. Look, I provide for them. They got everything they could possibly want. It's all there. And really, so that proves your love, because you have a successful business, you have a successful career, and you've given your children everything. There's no lack for them, right? That means that you love them. Really? No, it does not. It just means that you're successful. And you focused on your business, you focused on your life and your career, and your children happen to benefit from it financially. I don't know how many teenagers I've spoken with. In the early years of our ministry, we work with primarily teenagers. And through tears and anger, remember in these little meetings I would have with them in conferences and so forth, they would talk about how they just can't stand particularly their fathers. And I said, don't you believe he loves you? They said, absolutely not. Don't you have everything you need? Yes, we do. But we want his love. And he doesn't give it to us. Agape love. Agape love. A self-sacrificing, giving it to you. All that matters is you love. I know. Listen, it is hard to think that we have that ability to do what Jesus Christ did, you know, on the cross of Calvary. Remember in the scripture, it says, love your enemy. That word, love your enemy, is agape love your enemy. That's what it is. Even your enemies who hate you, who do terrible things to you, we are to self-sacrificially give to them, to care about them, to go beyond all the destruction they may put into our lives and to love them. That's so hard. How do we do that? Well, you can't. I can't. Can't do it. Absolutely not. I have a few people in my life that I might put in that category of my enemy. I don't have many. People that have done terrible things to me for no good reason other than that I'm pastor. It's hard. Because these are not just little things. These are things that literally affected our lives and our family. How do I love people like that? How do I sacrificially give of myself to people that hate on me like that? I can't. I want to be honest with you, I can't. And that's why agape love is not something you can have and do on our own. We cannot do it. It's not possible. It is only something that the Spirit of the living God can give to us and enact in us and then use us to impact others, especially our enemies, those who don't like us, for the kingdom's sake. Because if I don't do that, then I gain nothing. I'm a nothing. You know, if I have the faith to move mountains, it's not motivated by that. Well, then what is it motivated by? You know, if I accomplish a lot of stuff, let's say, for instance, a pastor goes and builds churches, you know, and grows it to thousands and so forth, and if he doesn't have agape love, then what motivates him? Is there anything else that can motivate it? Unfortunately, it can be. We've seen it happen. We just have to look in the annals of the Christian history in our nation the last 20 or 30 years. We've seen pastors that have done great and awesome things. We have seen churches that have flourished. We have seen deacons that are so prominent out there, leaders, but because they do not have agape love, eventually it collapses. We've seen that. It is possible. But nothing is what they're receiving. That's what they're gaining. You know, it goes on here in the Apostle Paul. Hey, listen, in three verses, he writes these awesome things that we can go on for weeks. He says, even if I give everything that I have to the poor and give over my body so that it will be destroyed, right? Martyrdom. You say, isn't that good enough? Can you do all that without agape love? Obviously, you can. That's why Paul said it. There are people in this world, and sometimes, you know what, we have to watch out because it's easy for us to say, oh, such and such, that's a great thing. She did such a great thing. He did such a great thing. They must be Christians. And yet they're not. They could be of another religion. They could be an atheist. They could be whatever. And say, God has to take that person. He's done so many things for the world. Such a philanthropist. Well, we can't just walk out of scriptures just because we see somebody that we think should. You know, that's where we get into trouble, and we're going to talk about this in the weeks to come. We have this concept that if we love, it must be right. You know, as long as you love somebody, unless you do something out of love, and we don't understand what that word love is. That word love has nothing to do with agape love. It is the world's concept of love. It is an emotional love. It is a love that says, you know what, it's a friendship love. And then we say, Paul, you must be wrong. You must be wrong. Because that person gave everything in his life. And just because he's not a Christian does not allow you, Paul, to say he's not going to enter the kingdom of God. But you see this passage. Without love, without agape love, a love that only comes from the Spirit of the living God, a love that comes from the fruit of the Spirit, a love that is motivated and empowered by the living God, without agape love, no matter what I'm doing, I gain nothing. And certainly not the kingdom of God. Today's family. Family worship. I want to tell you something. If our families are going to operate on agape love, and if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there is no way, no way that the enemy would destroy our family. No way. You know, when a husband and a wife, she says, you know what, I'm going to love on you. I'm going to sacrificially give of myself to you. There's not a whole lot of arguing to do anymore. You try to have to make it up, you can't do it. If you, as a father, me as a father, love on my children in such a way that I just bless them, I want to be there for them, I'm going to give them myself. We talk about it. We say if a truck is coming down and our child is standing in the middle of the road, we'll jump and push the child away and take it for him. You know, we say that, but will we, really? We can talk about the macro thing, but will we do the little things? Are we there when they have a baseball game? Are we there when they need us to support them in a study? You know, when the friends are ridiculing them, are we there to encourage them? Are we there to love on them? Are we praying for them? Are we spending the time? Are we saying, no, I am going to take this day off, no matter what this costs me in my career. I'm going to spend that time with my children. Are we going to do that? Or are we going to just keep on working and working and working because that's the most important thing for me as a father? And we as children, see, when we started our church in New York, we just ministered to teenagers. The parents would not believe us. We talked to so many who just basically just can't handle the parents, you know. Whenever they want to punish us, they always say, they don't let us come to church. That's it. And then when I go home with a B+, you know, I'm grounded, you know, I lose all my privileges. They want me to go this and that. I want to be an artist. I don't want to be an engineer. Oh, you don't know how many times I've heard those things. So you know what? Love on your parents. Love them into the kingdom of God. Love them with a sacrificial love. Something that's beyond what you can do. Ask the Spirit of God to minister. And He will. This kind of love is amazing. This kind of love cannot ever, ever be destroyed by this world. They can kill us. They can lock us up. They can wipe us out. This love doesn't change. It is a powerful love. It is from the living God. You know what? Praise God that we can have it. We can live it out. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to come before you to thank you so much for what you enable us to do as your people. Oh, Lord God, today right here in this room, there are Christian families, those who have given their lives to you, those who responded to your agape love. Oh, Lord God, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to give back to you. And because of giving to you, to give to others, that amazing. amazing love, the agape love. In Jesus' name.